During most weeks, I often find myself near the corner of 15th and Broadway to get a cup of coffee, to have lunch, or to run an errand of one sort or another. And for the past month or two in that area, I have seen an older woman sleeping under a blue tarp, shopping cart right by her head in front of the Footwise store. Once when Greg and I were coming back from lunch, we passed her and she was awake and standing up. It was freezing cold and pouring down rain, and we introduced ourselves and invited her to come over to the church to get warm and to dry off. She said she had to get a cup of coffee first and then she'd be right over, but she didn't come. It was in the course of that conversation, though, that I realized that she was not a young woman. The color of her hair and the lines in her face told me that she was probably in her late 50s or early 60s. I also realized that she probably lives with some kind of mental illness. In December, when we had that cold snap, I got very worried about her, and I called Janet Ewell, and Janet got me connected to a social service agency who said they would come out and check on her and invite her to shelter. And I know that they did that, but I don't know if this woman took them up on their offer. And because I'm often at the corner of 15th and Broadway, I look for her now. Most of the time when I see her, she's asleep, and I don't want to wake her up and bother her. And if she were awake, though, I would ask her her name, or I would buy her lunch, or I would try to start some kind of relationship with her. Because I think that she and people like her are a reminder of the effects of sin, the sins of apathy and greed that result in poverty and disease and isolation. Back in the day, back in Jesus' day, someone would see a person like this woman and say that they were possessed by a demon. In that time and place, people understood that their world had two dimensions, the physical world and a spiritual world that was filled with creatures, such as demons that would overtake a person. There was a hierarchy to the beings in this world. At the top was God, and next were other gods or the Son of God. Below that were angels and demons and spirits, and then human beings, and then creatures lower than human beings. That's why a demon could possess a person, and why Jesus, the Son of God, could command a demon to leave a person. We don't really think in terms of demonic possession these days. We have rational minds that study things like science and human behavior and brain chemistry. We understand that mental illness is real and sometimes treatable. Still, there is a terrible stigma attached to mental illness, and people who suffer from depression or bipolar disorder or schizophrenia or any other number of mental illnesses are often treated as less than or inferior or broken. We can do better. I would wager a guess that there is no one in this sanctuary this morning who does not have a family member or a close friend who lives with mental illness. All of us in this room know the heartbreak and the hope that can accompany mental illness, and all of us can be a part of the healing the rifts that are caused by the stigma. One of the living saints of this congregation often says that Westminster is a place where people find healing. Some would agree with that, and some would wonder at that, but that is a good thing to aspire to, that the church, that our church, can be a place where people find healing. Those who are involved with our monthly service of healing and wholeness will tell you, though, that healing is different than cure. Somebody can be cured and not healed, or healed and not cured. And for the purposes of this sermon, and maybe beyond these few minutes, let's think of healing as that which brings wholeness. And let's think of wholeness as the harmony of body, mind, and spirit. How does what we are about here at Westminster bring wholeness to the lives of those who are part of our community and part of the larger community? How are our ministries and our efforts encouraging the harmony of body, mind, and spirit? Well, it's hard to live well if you don't have enough food to eat. And in 2017, Westminster folks gave over 4,600 pounds, that's over 2 tons, of food to the Northeast Emergency Food Program and Mainspring. We have also enjoyed breaking bread with each other at our 125th wedding anniversary.
Wow, that would be impressive.
Or our 125th congregational anniversary celebration at monthly connection services, at coffee hours and memorial receptions. And as we break bread together and as we feed one another and those in the community, let us keep in mind the words of Proverbs 15, "Better is a dinner of vegetables where love is than a fatted ox and hatred with it." How is Westminster bringing wholeness to the lives of those in our community? In this past year, the Interfaith Alliance on Poverty, co-chaired by Westminster members Carol Turner and David Groff, became a strong voice of advocacy and education regarding issues of poverty in Northeast Portland. Through the Alliance's work, renters have been able to stay in their apartments, legislation that supports the poor has been passed, and 13 religious congregations have come together to learn deeply about issues in our community of poverty, race, and prejudice. How is Westminster bringing wholeness to the community? By traveling away from the community and learning from others. This last February, 13 members of our congregation traveled together to Guatemala to spend time with our Presbyterian mission co-workers, Sandy and Brian Thompson Royer, and to learn from the Guatemalan Presbyterian women with whom they work. Our group learned about the differences faced by those of Mayan descent versus those from Spanish colonizers' descent. They learned about the realities of a macho culture and its effect on domestic violence. They also learned about how women of faith find their power in small co-ops for coffee or weaving. They learned about the devastating after effects of the Civil War there, which has impacted the refugee crisis of those coming to the United States from Central America. And because of what this small group learned in Guatemala, Westminster has looked at what it means to provide sanctuary, safety, and basic necessities to those who are threatened with being deported back to places where they may face real death. I could go on about the many ways that Westminster is a community of healing. We provide opportunities for social engagement to combat the prevalence of isolation in the social media age. We offer worship that admits the truth of our messy lives and the love and power of a God who comes into all the mess. We hope that our children and youth find a place of welcome and know that we delight in them. We act on our sense of responsibility to ensure that our facilities are welcoming and accessible for the church and the community. We learn together through classes and retreats and book groups and other studies what it means to live a life of faith. And in one small way, I measure our success, and I use that word success very advisedly. That's the only time you'll see me use air quotes. I measure our success as a community of healing by how we respond to someone like that woman who sleeps under a blue tarp in front of Footwise. At the very least, I hope our community would notice her, would notice that there is a human being lying there, sleeping in the safe hours of the day near a busy intersection. I hope our community would be curious. Why is she here? Who is she? What resources are available to her? Is she sick? Does she need medicine or food or a friend? I hope our community would consider those resources that could help her and that we would support those who provide the resources, either by buying her a sandwich or supporting any number of agencies in our community that work with the homeless, that work on affordable housing, and that work with the mentally ill. I hope our community would look at her when she is awake and say hello and be deeply troubled that a mentally ill woman in her 50s or 60s is sleeping in front of a shoe store. As I said earlier, once upon a time, people would say that a woman like this is possessed by a demon. We don't say that now. But I think it's fair to say that she may be possessed by mental illness or something else. And I wonder what you and I might be possessed by. what forces are at play in our lives that hinder our own wholeness or hinder our ability to want healing and wholeness for others. Some here do live with mental illness, some with addiction to substances or things, some live with righteous indignation or judgment. But there are also people here who are possessed with the spirit of compassion, with the spirit of kindness, and with the spirit of grace. In the end, I think what matters most is the hope that we are possessed by the love of God, a love which enables us to see the way that God sees, a love which enables us to respond to the call to be healers. We are possessed by the love of God, but we're not to possess that love and keep it for ourselves, but to share it and to be kind and to notice and to act. May we know that we are enfolded in God's love today. Amen.